Morning,
Good
Rob.
morning. I had a pretty productive week, I think, with a nice opportunity. I met with a guy named Rick Lindquist, and he knows you, Tim.
Yeah, he reached out to me yesterday.
Oh, good. Okay, terrific. He told me that he felt a little bad because he had recruited from you, but
well, yeah. One we were glad he took, and one was tough. Natalie was fantastic. The other one was okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to get a little help in solving a problem. Yeah. What did you think of what he had to say?
Well, what he asked me was he just wanted to talk to the head of our national sales, which I'm actually organizing a call with Steve Miano for tomorrow.
That's fabulous. Can I be on that?
Sure.
Yeah.
So how did you wind up coming across him or talking to him yesterday?
We did a seminar in Philadelphia, and his gentleman on the ground was very interested in what we were doing. They're trying to reinvent Supernova.
Okay.
Right? They want some, they all like Supernova. Yep. But Jim McCarthy came to him and kind of pulled him out of what he was doing and is charging him with generating $5 million of growth organically. With seven guys in seven different markets. Well, without any leverage, that basically is doomed to failure. Okay.
Right.
So he needs to pull together all the troops he can and be a leader, not see, he had some success. This is me speaking now, as much as I could figure out. He had some success by going in and using the technology that they already had to teach these people how to mine their books. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a technology job, and that's not going to get you to become national sales director. You're not going to get promoted on that, baby. He needs to show some real leadership here and move the needle and pull together forces and, you know, create a national program. Not one that, you know, you can be replaced by a technology guru. So the technology's fine. That's great. That's one piece of it. He wants to segment, he wants to organize, and he wants to acquire. And I said, look, we got the team for you to do the segmentation with their PAR program. That's basically the Hess report. They'll go in, they'll work with your guys. They'll bring tremendous leverage. Then you've got us to teach them the organization and then acquisition, and we could all work together. I mean,
perfect.
And I said, you got to shill it. I said, the best thing in the world would be to take the guys that are already done, but not growing. Or guys that are done and growing and just give more attention. So we literally probably can put, I bet I could put, I don't know, more than 100 FAs that have graduated from Supernova that work with Morgan Stanley. And make them his team.
Yeah. Who was the boots on the ground that you had talked to? You recall?
Rick Link. I mean, who
are? Yeah, was it actually Rick Lindquist you talked to?
Yeah. I've had two calls with him.
Okay.
And he's terrific, but he's completely overwhelmed by this thing. They were going at 100 miles an hour, and then this thing hit, and this has given him a breather and a chance to pull together a really good program.
Yeah.
That I think, so there's two, I said, look, whenever I had a project, I went at it with five different strategies. Okay. And not because, you know, one wasn't looked a little better in the beginning than another, but I said, you know, you got to attack this thing multiple ways. It was like when we were hiring minorities, right? I was going to hire my, you know, we had a program for developing minorities. I went up to five different ways. We were trying to increase market share in my market. I went five different ways. You want to increase revenues with FAs? You gotta have like a bunch of different things going on. Okay. So, yeah. And you can't be the guy on the ground doing the technology. I mean, you gotta be leading this thing. Anyway, that's the overview. Okay. So the easiest fruit is the fruit of the lowest hanging fruit is the already cooked Morgan Stanley FAs that love Supernova and would love some attention on technology. That's a definite easy winner for him. Okay. Yeah. And he can then start the clock ticking on those guys and probably just out of that get his 5 million.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what you guys can do is go in and say, look, who are your biggest producers that basically should do Supernova, but nobody's ever approached them. And see where they are, match them up with your guys, teach them PAR, and then get them into Supernova, and we'll work our ass off to help him get his 5 million. Okay. And then take, and that would probably be enough. I mean, those are two strategies, right? But
So I'm scheduling that call tomorrow afternoon. Right now we're looking at like 2:30 Eastern.
Sure. I'm good. I'm recovering from a little bit of a sinus infection, so I'm inboard for the week. But you know, if you can come up, this was brainstorming. And I'm still brainstorming. It's what I do it when I go to sleep. I think about his project and think, if I were challenged by that project, what would I do? I said, first of all, when we went into Boston in our UBS said, okay, we'll hire you to do a beta test in Boston. And we will, we'll bring 50 FAs in with the managers and put them through what was then the brand new Supernova program. We put them through Supernova in 3 months. And that year, they had a 30% lift over the rest of the firm. And that generated $5 million for them plus. Okay. So mm-hmm. their average productivity from where they started was 30% higher than what the firm's increase was. Now, how did we do it? They were people with 500 accounts, you know, so we segmented, we organized and we acquired and we did them in groups and we did it fast. I don't think we want to do it that way again. But that worked and therefore they hired us to go all over the country and paid us a lot of money to do it.
But I think the model that we're working on with Morgan right now, where there's a kickoff and there's small groups that are in similar skill sets, I think that could work.
I agree, Mary. I agree. We've already built it out now for Philadelphia. Let's build it out for working with Rick, with his leadership and his team. Coordinate with that. There's your first game, right?
Yeah.
That would be fabulous for her. And at the same time, you know, so rather than all these different things going on all over the place, let's pull it together, tie it together, and make it something that really works.
Good. So I'll get that call set up. Rob, what is your best email? Is it rd@gmail.com?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And text me too. Text is probably better. You got my text?
No, give me your text number.
All right, 317-418-8624.
8624?
Correct.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, I came across a coaching kind of roadblock this week. I'll bounce off you if you don't mind.
Sure.
So we're working with this team in Boston. really nice team. Got about $300 million book, focused on acquisition right now. Had a lot of success with clients, like $3 to $8 million range.
Yep.
Their goal is to become a $1 billion practice, though, which means you got to go upstream, and have seen zero success with any clients over $10 million. Just completely striking out.
Yep.
I haven't been obviously engaged in those conversations to know, you know, if he's doing anything different, but the guy's pretty sharp. Does a lot of the supernova principles, and was asking me, you know, is there some delineation that occurs at that level where we need to change our approach? Or do I just need to resign myself to the fact that, you know, stick with what's working in these $3 to $8 million clients and build what I can from there?
No, a $20 million client is just a $5 million client 15 years ago. Okay, there's no difference. You know, the $30 million client is just a guy that had $10 million and now it's grown. Or he sold his business. He's the same guy. So there's no difference. They just get spoiled at that level. So you better be delivering Supernova Plus. So when we worked with the ultra high net worth teams and the high net worth teams, we just do Supernova as a baseline, raise their minimums, and then work on getting centers of influence that interact with people with $10 million and above. I mean, that sounds kind of simple, but you've got to come to the plate with a very clear and pretty cocky model that you can do this work. Okay. But at the same time, very caring. I mean, I'm thinking of the teams that work in that space, and a lot of them, I mean, they'll have 25 clients. They won't have, you know, they'll have 20 clients, and that's a lot. And they talk about it. It's like a family office group. They work differently. Now, the weird thing is this island is filled with millionaires and billionaires, and I don't see them getting anything special in terms of service. Okay. Right. I mean, they're, you know, probably the average person on this island has, at least 20 million, if not, you know, maybe the average is 30. And there's, you know, they call it Billionaire Island. It's a very quiet place where you go to be, away from others and have your privacy and nobody bothers you, and they fly in their private jets, and it's very nice. And it's about the jet port is about a mile off the island, you know. So it's a very unique place. But they're just regular guys that I hang out with. I kick their ass in tennis and golf and fishing and everything else, and they're great. They're fine. I'm on the head of the investment committee for the island school, and the level of service that, you know, that Northern Trust gives is pretty pathetic. And they think they rule the island, but they don't. You'd be surprised how many people want to still do it themselves, using just index funds. It's so weird. I just can't understand it, because I like the idea of having an employee. I mean, my team does everything for me. You know, it's not a family office group, but it's close. And for the money I pay them, hell, I couldn't hire what can you hire? I'd have to pay them a ridiculous amount of money. I'd have to pay them $1 million to do what they do for me. So, I'm very pleased with what I get, but there's not a lot of people that understand that level of service. Either they get it now, or even I can't name one person that said to me, "My God, I have this family office group and they treat me great." I'll bring up stuff and they'll be like, "What? What do you do?" You know, you have an investment committee with your family office group, and you're financial advisor helps you with that investment committee, and it's you made up of your kids, and you're teaching them about asset allocation and rebalancing and everything so that, oh, wow, would I like that, you know? It's so weird. So it's not a space that you have to be afraid of at all.
Okay. But so approach it the same manner you're doing with the 3 to 8 million. It's just the COI introductions may be different there, and then ensure that there's more.
You better have a tight model. If you're not doing Supernova Plus, remember Supernova isn't 12-4-2. It's really 48-4-2. Okay. It's an email.
I did not go on that route. So.
No, it really is. And it's not a bothersome 48. It's mostly, you know, you just think about it, right? You have your meeting once a month. That's your 12. Then you have your agenda that you send to them ahead of time, and then your executive summary. That's 36. Plus you have to contact them and ensure that they're going to be on the call. So there's your 48. It's probably more than that if you send them anything else.
I bet it's more than that, quite honestly.
Right, it is. It's a lot more than that. But people are like, you know, think about it with you guys. I mean, people say, well, I don't need to be called more than once a month. I mean, you know, more than once a quarter. And just, there's no better example of why you want to be called every month than this pandemic. What if you didn't get a call every month here? I mean, the world has completely gone upside down and back and forth and right itself, and now we're almost back to normal. And you could have been completely flipped upside down on your own and made some horrible decisions. Whereas you had somebody calling you every month. Here's a good story for you. In fact, Rick Lindquist told me this story. He said, I gave up my book and I gave it to a guy that, you know, to a number of different people in the office, but one of the guys was a senior guy, really good guy, thought he'd do really well. He got an ACATS from one of my very biggest accounts. And he said he called the client to see why he left. This was the FA. And he said, I left because, you know, I had this call on the first Tuesday of the month at 9 o'clock. With Rick, and when I didn't get that from you, I thought you didn't care. So I moved. See, once they've seen Paris, they're never going home again. Right? You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once you spoiled them, they're spoiled.
For sure.
Did he say, I'm glad I only got called quarterly? No, he said, I'm leaving because I didn't get called monthly. And that's what I was trained that good service was. So that's part of the game. When clients are being reassigned, they should never, ever be reassigned from a Supernova FA to a non-Supernova FA. You can pass that on to all your guys.
Sure.
Okay. You got a disaster looking at you. Anyway,
have you ever struggled with two things? Number one, I know you called me yesterday afternoon. I'm sorry, I was on 9 hours of conference calls yesterday. And Bray, I know you and I played phone tag, so I'll catch up with you today too, if that's okay. But do you ever struggle with, or have you had any experience with Supernova advisors like in that vein who then are ready to retire or sell their practice? And how, I mean, is it more of an obstacle to find someone else unless they're passing it to someone else in the practice in their on their team? Because a lot of advisors don't use the model. How do you transition clients that way?
You'd prepare for that, Mary. You'd make that a big part of your transition, is that you would have a team and they would do Supernova. So you would get a partner 2 or 3 years before you retired. Now, some firms require that you be in business for, you know, 4 years before you retire, or 3 years or whatever, in order to pass on your book. But you get a partner that's Supernova, and you don't, and they get the accounts. Otherwise, If you distribute that to the office, you got a disaster looking at you. So I don't think as an FA, today the FA retirements are very carefully planned. And, you know, they've got to buy out over a 4 or 5 year period. So part of that preparation should be matching up service models. But good question. And I don't think managers think about that. You guys could be a big help to managers just sharing your experience with them and saying and sharing that, saying, look, the good news, bad news. Once a person has Supernova, they're spoiled. They can't go back.
Mm-hmm. Even just service models in general. I mean, I think to your point, managers spend a lot of time and advisors spend a lot of time segmenting and looking at their book from a purely quantitative standpoint, assets, revenue. This person could use more assets, so I'm going to give it to this FA, you know, et cetera. Managers divvy up books that way. I don't think they look at it qualitatively, like who would be a good culture match, who would be a good personality match, who has a similar level of service, and et cetera.
Right.
So you're right on that.
You know, this guy likes equities. This guy just wants to be called once a month and doesn't care.
Right.
You better match him up with a guy that likes equities or he's on the road. He's out of there.
Well, and then even like a funny story, we're spending some time with a guy at UBS who they're trying to get. He's a young guy and he's great. I know him. And we're trying to get PAR data there. And it's been kind of a new experience for us trying to mine the data. And so they gave us one of their problem children who actually is a good guy. But he has a primarily transactional book and he's grown up in the business that way. So they're trying, and they have been for years, to transition into more of an advice-based modern wealth approach. And yet at the same time, they paired him up with a guy who is the biggest stock jockey I've ever seen who's retiring. And so they're like, well, now we've got to really get him straight because he's bringing in this whole other book. I'm like, why would you give him more of what you're trying to get him to not do? That's how sometimes management works, right? It's what they do.
Well, you know, stock guys like to talk to stock guys. And don't think of it as a one or the other. Think of it as hybrids in that case. And what you want to do is you want to get, you know, I did this for a living, transitioning guys from being 100% stocks to professional money management to really understanding financial planning to being holistic life coaches. That takes time. But guys that like stock. So a guy that is a stock jockey probably is okay with another stock jockey because they can transition the business and the clients will understand it. But at the same time, you need to teach that person. I always started with something that they really couldn't do, like international money management or municipal bond management. You know, things that took a lot of time. You really didn't have access to inventory, and then you, at the same time, you don't have, you know, you have no knowledge of what's going on in China or Brazil or anything else. So that, to me, is the easiest way to transition guys to using mutual funds, to using professional money managers from municipal bonds, and then I'd transition them gradually to things that they weren't very good at, again, like maybe they're terrible at small cap, you know, domestic stocks, and they need that kind of. And I'd always talk them into, hey, look, you're going to get some great ideas from these money managers. I mean, I use money managers myself to create good ideas. So when I see them buying a stock, I'll pay attention to it, and if I like it, I might buy it myself. So I'm still kind of an equity guy, but I'm also use all kind. You know, I use municipal bond managers, and I use equity managers and international managers and so forth. So,
yeah, I just thought it was funny that they were trying to get him away from being transactional and then basically partnered him with someone who's retiring who has a book of only transactional business. The irony of that.
My brother was only
like, you're drowning. Here's the
right
rock.
No, my brother was only transactional. Well, you know why that happened, probably because that guy insisted that it go to another transactional guy.
Well, that's possible too.
Yeah, I would gather that was probably the case. But my brother retired and he was totally transactional, wasn't even fee-based, just commissions and was had a good business. And he gave it book to a team, and in the last 2 years, they transitioned the entire book to fee-based services. That's what you know, that's what the firm would like. Yeah. He went from being like an $800,000 producer to like a $2.5 million producer. And I said, why didn't you do it earlier? He said, well, I should have listened to you 10, 20 years ago. But anyway.
Yeah. It's been an easier conversation than we thought it would have been with him working from the bottom and getting him to be comfortable and knowing that it doesn't fit for every client, but it fits for a good chunk of clients. And sort of this was a good time to revamp his practice. And what really caught on with him was when we said, look, if these clients leave you and go to another advisor, do you think that other advisor is going to be primarily transactional with them? It's possible, but do you think that that new advisor will then put them into an advice-based model? Because that's how modern wealth management works. And when that sort of clicked with him, that was the turning point.
Right. And what you should, you know, if a guy wants to manage money, I always say manage money on a discretionary basis with a portion of the money. If you're a GARP guy, fine. If you're a value guy, fine. If you're a growth guy, fine. Then hire managers to offset you. You charge a fee on a discretionary basis to manage the growth piece, then hire a GARP, and then hire a value manager, and then hire an international manager. But you shouldn't be the sole, you know, you're great, you know, a value manager would have been out of favor for a long time here. You would have dramatically underperformed, and why should your client suffer because you picked the wrong style? So that's another way of doing it, Mary. You just talk them into that. You kind of, but there's no reason that somebody should call clients to do transactions. Okay. That's the, first of all, it takes them a month to move through a position if they're going to sell IBM and call everybody. So what price is everybody going to get versus discretion where you just push a button and all the IBM is sold and all the Microsoft is bought, you know, so it's a stupid, inefficient old system. That system should never be anymore.
Because what happens is, I mean, from a regulatory perspective, and that's a really good point, Ben, your smaller clients are always going to be disadvantaged because you're always going to move for your bigger clients first. And that's an issue.
It's a big issue, you know, and
yeah,
the new regulations and all are making. You know, by the way, they finally dropped national sales from UBS. Morgan Stanley. Jim McCarthy is now business management and training.
Yeah, and they're, we were talking about this last week, and they're now all of those who report up to him, those BDMs, are now, what are they called? Wealth management coaches?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Ben?
Yeah,
I can.
The name slipped my mind. Yes, you're on the right track.
Something like that.
Yeah. Mary, I don't know if you did. You hear the discussion on Rick Lindquist?
No, I had to upgrade Zoom to get in, so I heard kind of the tail end when Ben said or Tim said he was going to call him tomorrow. So.
Rick Lindquist is the new executive director for modern team engagement or modern engagement or
he's in the central region. He held himself out to me as the new national sales manager for the central region.
I think he's doing it nationally.
Okay.
My impression was he's doing it nationally. But anyway, I got in touch with him because of our meeting in Philadelphia, where one of his people that report up to him saw the meeting and saw the presentation and said, basically, what we're trying to do has already been done by Supernova. Why don't we get in touch with Knapp and get his workbook and steal all his stuff? And I said, great. Okay. you know, And so you know, I don't want that to happen, but I certainly have put myself out there to try and help him personally, because his model is terrible and he's going to fail. And so I don't want him to do that. But so I'm trying to convince him, which I think I have, that his future depends on winning this game. And if he doesn't, he will not do well. So I thought, let's pull together a team to save him and make this work, and that would be in everybody's best interest.
Yeah, I mean, and we're kind of starting to do some of that with Ebony, I think. Like, to your point, there's right. a way to not just teach them, but then to put some action steps and accountability to what they're doing as well, and that would really support him. So since he is national, Tim, do you want Ben and me? Would it make sense for us to join you guys when you set this up, or is that overkill in people?
That's fine. I don't know that he's national, though. I got to clarify that. I know he's out of Dallas.
Okay.
He was dealing with the central region. Now, maybe he is national and just took that on, but I'll find that out. But I do know if it was just the central region, it does cover, it's four centers that it covers, three of mine, and covers Michael York as well. So at least
Gotcha.
It's national. He's in charge. Okay. He's got seven guys working for him in seven different regions.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
And so well, he's.
Mary, I know we're going to talk. Let's circle back on this and figure out a game plan. So.
Sure. We'll just leave Ben out of it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Let me. Was I not on mute there?
I'll just keep banging big rocks at the little rocks. Let me know when you need me.
That's very funny. I finally found executive director, head of modern. Come on. I'll edit it and then I'll be able to read it. Okay, I wrote it down.
And I have a call with one of his direct reports. I think it's today. It might be tomorrow. I can't remember. She used to be a BDM in Charlotte. And so that would work really well because she can be a part of what we're doing with Ebony. So.
Right. And that's the thing. There are seven other people or more than that out in the market that are doing team coaching and all kinds of things. And he's got to pull those people underneath him too. And then track all of the people that they're coaching in order to get to this $5 million number. He's got a $5 million challenge.
Excuse me. Okay. I'm going to look him up right now.
He's the head of modern engagement.
Head of modern wealth management is what it held
him
up.
You called him up, right? But he's the head. He's not the tail. So he's the head guy.
Yeah. So he's really moved up from where he was.
I think he had some problems. So he's open to suggestions. Executive director, head of modern.
He was in Chicago before. He sounds so familiar to me, but he has no picture.
He was an advisor in Minneapolis, and right. I know he was down in St. Louis for a while, and then he wound up in Dallas.
He was taken out of St. Louis, but he was there for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
So he's not a rookie, and he produced for 5 years, and so he's got the experience. I know that. But you know, you take a guy like that that's been a field guy and put him into the puzzle palace, and they're lost because they don't know the politics and they don't, you know, they take orders. And they're, you know, they can get smashed. So it's very important to take initiative and take the risk of doing something really well rather than taking something and just trying to please his boss. I mean, he's got to really, you know, show some creativity and some leadership and ability to pull people together. So my plan for him, not that I have all the answers. I've just done enough of this. is to go back to his boss, Jim McCarthy, and rework the plan and tell him what he's doing and ask for what he needs, rather than just going into this, you know, with the few little people that he has. He's got to leverage everybody in training to get this project done. And I thought, you know, if he uses me and our trainers, he uses you guys, I mean, that's a hell of a good team. And then we'd meet like every week and just help him through the whole thing. And I think it'd be great for you guys. I mean, come on.
For sure. Well, this sounds like a great opportunity. I learned a lot on this call, Rob, based on what I thought his role actually was down in Dallas to seeing it much more, you know, globally across the whole country. So this could be a huge opportunity for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, he seems like a guy that, you know how people are. You can tell when they want help and when they're willing to listen and learn and grow. I mean, his plan he put together is horrible. Okay. It's horrible. I mean, I've spent 48 years doing this, you know, the last 20 years coaching and teaching and with this challenge, right? And you guys are just getting into it, you know, trying to figure out how to raise these guys' revenues and show value in what you're doing. And you know how hard it is. And so if we get, you know, all of our minds together and go after this with a mission to raise that $5 million, we'll do it. And I love the fact that he's got a tangible goal. We gotta leverage it. We gotta shill it. I said, pick only good guys. Okay. You don't pick losers in this. You gotta win first. You know, so when we did the 50 guys in Boston, you think we took the worst guys out of the Boston area? No, we took the best guys, right?
Right.
So that's what you do. You get the best people in each of your markets and track them. But he's got like 4 months. Once he gets started, he's got like 4 months to raise $5 million, which is ridiculous. So he's got to get a more realistic time frame. And he's got to understand the depth. And I said, you got to measure client satisfaction. Cause if you don't lose any, you know, that's as valuable and the clients love the firm more. That's worth something. So anyway, those would be the.
So he has 4 months to raise $5 million in
incremental revenues. Yeah, net new assets.
Okay, so Morgan Stanley has those four buckets. We can talk offline because I know you guys probably have to go in a second, but Morgan Stanley has those four buckets. And the one thing that we could do, Rob, that would help him as a gap stop along the way while he's trying to deploy the better, longer-term version that is Supernova, is we could use the PAR program.
Yep.
To identify clients that have assets held away. We could find for him the low-hanging fruit with the right advisors, and that would get him to that number that would buy him the time to deploy a more sustainable long-term type of program.
What he wants is to use some of his technology that mines for that same kind of thing. So, Mary, I'd have to have you – do you know what they do, what their technology?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the NDA stuff.
You'd want to integrate into what you're doing with what they're doing so we don't step on his toes so he looks good and can use that as part of his, you know, I did this stuff.
For sure. And we know all of their tools. We have the only thing which I really need to have someone get for me is that that one thing that's on their desktop that has the four buckets. Actually, I could call Scott Wilson or you could, Tim. Natalie, she'll share it with us. So I can show you guys. Yeah. And it's basically the four buckets of modern wealth management. It's what they have to fill. It's banking, lending, Morgan Stanley Online, life
GPS.
Plans and what's, it is like the GPS. Yeah. So
yeah, they're only measuring the GPS right now. They're not measuring the the bigger financial plan, but they're going to in a few months, you know, put that back in to, as so it counts. But
so that if you look at those buckets, he could show success there. That you could see for each advisor exactly what they have to do. I mean, at a glance, in order to boost their revenue, it's really easy.
So as a preliminary discussion with Rick, is everybody here available tomorrow afternoon? Right now we're looking at 2:30 Eastern time.
Yep. Not, good bud.
Early next week.
Tomorrow at what time? 2:30?
2:30 Eastern.
Yeah, I have something that ends at 2, so that's perfect.
Ben, are you?
Do you guys feel prepared to present to Graz on this thing? Do you think, how do you want to do this so that he's impressed?
Well, I was going to have Graz actually be part of the call because I didn't really know what Rick Knapp was calling me for.
Lakequest, yeah.
Sense. And so Graz was going to be on the call. I don't know if we want Graz on that call tomorrow or not.
Well, Graz is going to represent everything that you guys need, right, to make this work.
Yeah.
So what I need to understand is what I'm asking him to do on that call, so that, because I'm catching up to where you guys are, and then I need to understand, is there a financial commitment to what we're being asked to do? So I'm going to have to give him some facts, or we're going to have to give him some facts. So if you want to,
Here's what I would suggest doing. I would suggest, and he may not be up for this. You guys know him better than I do. I don't know him at all. I would suggest that it be a great opportunity to collaborate. And this call is a brainstorming call. And you're going to ask for his advice once he understands the opportunity. He's not going to want to be on the call unless we're asking for his advice or asking.
I don't think we need him on the call.
Yeah, okay. We won't have him on the call. Again, I was just in preliminary talks with Rob or Rick. We had just traded a couple of emails. So.
Well, I'm not. No, I wouldn't. I mean, is Graz a guy that wants to increase revenues?
Yeah, he wants to increase revenues. Now, do we have Graz on? He's actually going to be out starting next Tuesday. So is it fair to him to have him on and he's going to be out, or do we all just handle it ourselves?
What do you mean he's going to be out? I mean, this is...
He's having surgery, so he's going to be out of medical leave.
Oh, he is. Okay. Yeah.
He's having back surgery.
So what you're saying is he's going to do it from the hospital or something?
No. That's next
he's
Tuesday.
Out 4 weeks. Surgery. That's Tuesday.
He'll be in available today or Friday and Monday.
Okay. So, but what about, and we could not have anyone at all, but what about having Amy on there? Is that going to muddy the waters? I know. Ben, like, candidly, what do you think?
Can I be frank with you
guys?
Yes,
please do.
I don't see any value there. I mean, it's Graz and you guys, okay? I mean, I just haven't seen anything there. So, I mean, that's why I suggested Rick talk to Graz. Because...
Why don't you just reach out to Graz and say, hey, we had this conversation with Rob. Here's the level. It's fine. We're good to do it on our own. If you wanted to insert yourself before you're out for a month and wanted to kind of look at the landscape, it would be awesome to have you. If you don't want to do it, we have it, and kind of see where he nets out. Because, you know, Ben, I don't know. I kind of think maybe it might be something he wants to put his fingers in for a minute. You know what I mean?
Well, it might be from a standpoint, too, that he's talking to the top guy as well, knowing that.
I think that's really important.
That's what the value would be, to show of force. Yeah. Graz will have zero to say on this call. I can almost promise you because he doesn't get involved with what we do.
But from your standpoint, he's like one of the top guy. So the top guy's there. We didn't blow that off, even if Graz doesn't have anything to say.
Right.
Yeah, Tim, make that clear to him. Just when you invite him, be like, listen, Steve, this is going to be a little more in the weeds than you probably want to get, but we need the show of force to
priority
for us.
Yeah. Tell him it's just like that Rugby I meeting. He can sit back on the heater with Amy and you and I all just I'm kidding. I'm still bitter about that.
Yeah. Well, and I think Rob made a good point that this is more like a brainstorm call because from our standpoint at Touchstone, this is our first time talking about this to Rick in his new role.
Right. And we got him. We got him early.
Rob, but this is really the first time having that conversation with Rick.
I mean, you're talking to a guy that's got the ear of Jim McCarthy who can make the money flow if he wants to.
Yeah, and Graz knows Jim fairly well. I don't think there's a super warm and fuzzy relationship there because every time he talks to Jim, Jim's like, we would rather do all of this ourselves. We don't want your help. We don't want any other asset manager. But, Rob, when we were in where were we? Baltimore? Wherever we were. He was great spending 2 days with him. He was warmer to us than I have seen in the past. So we'll see.
And Rick knows enough of what we're doing around the whole PAR side of things when he was in the central region. I mean, he knows, Wilson and all those guys and Natalie. And so he knows enough about what we were doing. He wasn't, getting his fingers involved in it, but he's at least seen it and heard it. So
it's leverage, guys. Yeah. It's leverage, right? I mean, that's what you bring. You bring people that are aligned with their mission to help. I mean, to me, it'd be crazy not to use you guys. And you get to see lots of different people. You're coaches now. And that's, he needs coaches and he can't, he's got 7. Okay. Now, if he does really well, they'll give him more. I said, Rick, you don't want more. Think about it. I mean, if you get 25 coaches and we go into a deep recession, who's the first group that gets cut?
Right.
Right?
You want to be slim, yeah.
Do this. Get the result. You're interested in results, not building kingdom. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I did it with UBS. They went from 60 coaches to 0. Okay?
Yeah, and I know that you do a good job of doing this for us, but it would be probably really helpful for him to understand the depth of the time we've spent with you to really understand and be able to execute. We're not an asset manager who's having you as the value add and we do this other little work. It's a very integrated process. And so we can be a free extension of what he's doing already without hiring and building his kingdom. He's got additional coaches that are there that can support. So hopefully he'll like that. Well, thanks. That's a great opportunity. So, Tim, are you going to reach out to Graz? Sorry.
Yeah, I'll get it all organized and let everybody know.
Yeah, just tell him, look, I tried to get, right, we're always closing, right? Closing for the next call. You never leave it. And so I closed for this call. And he bid on it and said it was great. And I set up something else, another call after that. So just to get him down the path here. And so, to create a partnership here, because that would be good for everybody. So that's what, it sounds like I kind of took control and I did. Okay. Cause I was tired and I wasn't feeling good. And I didn't want to waste my time. And so I just told him what to do. and it made me sick to see what he was doing because I just knew it was going to set him up to kill him. You just see guys, you're walking into a buzzsaw there, buddy. You're going to get killed. And you're going to work your butt off and do a terrific job and nobody's going to care because you're not going to reach the 5 million. And then they're going to go, fine. You're relegated to the pile of trainers that we have over here rather than an executive. He's got to take on an executive role here or he's going to be just another trainer, which is death in our industry. Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, I'll get things set up and get back to everybody and keep you updated.
Terrific. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I will. Thanks. Bye.
Talk to you, Rob. Thanks.
Bye, guys.